Hello and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. We start with discoveries at an ancient site in Saudi Arabia. Then we have sad news in England about the Peat Moor Centre, which is being forced to close in September. A 2,500-year-old tomb, however, is found in Peru and convinces a man to live in the area. While in Florida, a sinkhole provides clues to early Americans. A dig unearths secrets of the early Delawareans, also in the US. And finally in the US, we have news that we reported on first last week about the ancient village discovered in Iowa. We then round off with the publication of the Nighthawking Report, produced by Oxford Archaeology and English Heritage, looking at how nighthawks are raiding Britain's archaeological heritage. A Saudi-German team of archaeologists has discovered the remains of buildings during excavations at Taima in northeastern Saudi Arabia. The team from the German Archaeological Institute, which is in agreement with the Saudi Commission for Tourism and Antiquities to continue excavations at Taima for 5 years, is researching the relationship between the settlement, which date back to 3000 BCE, and the civilizations of Sham, Egypt, and in Mesopotamia. The Saudi-German team is researching the reasons behind changes in the settlement in Taima and studying the economical and social conditions prevalent at the time. They're also working to prepare the site for visitors in line with the plans of the Commission of Tourism Antiquities. The Taima archaeological site is situated in a flat basin surrounded by mountainous heights such as the Jabal Gunayim. North of the settlement is a large seasonal salt pan which was once covered by a lake thousands of years ago. The characteristic environment of the oasis is best represented by the Bir Hadaj well, which is 18 metres in diameter when it's standing within the city centre, and the extended palm gardens of the area. The rapidly growing modern settlement currently covers one-third of ancient Taima, which has an estimated area of some 500 hectares. The most visible remains of the ancient occupation are the high surrounding walls. Ancient Taima was an important oasis and trade station on the incense route, and previous archaeological excavations have encountered signs of occupation from the Middle Bronze Age, which is the early 2nd millennium BCE, right up to the Islamic periods. Well, that's the sort of site that you'd really want to try and get to visit, but I don't know how many of us will. Sadly, at the Somerset County Council meeting on the 18th of February that we reported on last week, it was decided to close the Peat Moor Centre on the grounds of budget savings. Apparently, there was no discussion as to the feasibility of keeping it open. The warden at the centre has taken a somewhat more positive approach, though, to the bad news, and welcomes all visitors to come through the next season before it closes in September 2009. He says that this also buys time to explore possible alternative options for a future for the centre. The prehistoric reconstructions found at Peat Moor Centre belong to the rich heritage of the Somerset Levels, a watery landscape that has also inspired stories and myths of a Dark Age people, with monks and the legends of King Arthur. Well, over the next few months, I think we're going to, at Pasteurizing St. Badger, be supporting the Peat Moor Centre. It's very good to see people being positive about closure and actually thinking about how they can come out of it. So hopefully we'll be doing all in our power to support them on this one, and hopefully come back with better news later on this year. And, of course, if you're in the area, why not get along and support them yourself? After making an important discovery, archaeologist Ignacio Alva Meneses has affirmed that he is going to stay and live in Lambayeque, one of Peru's northern regions. Alva did not make this decision because of a 4,000-year-old temple he found in 2007, but because of a child's tomb that he found last month. It's believed that the child was buried approximately 2,500 years ago, and the tomb was found just 500 metres from the trapped deer temple. It was given its name because of a painting of a deer caught in a net on one of the walls. According to carbon dating, the painting itself is over 4,000 years old. Well, if there's ever been a reason to move house, that has got to be a good one. Divers exploring a southern Florida sinkhole in the US have uncovered clues to what life was like for some of America's first residents. Led by University of Miami professor John Gifford, underwater archaeologists are exploring Little Salt Spring, 12 miles south of Sarasota. Earlier this year, students working about 30 feet below the surface found the remains of a gourd that probably was used as a water canteen by an ancient hunter between 8 to 9,000 years ago. Archaeologists have been recovering relics from the site since 1977, when divers found the remains of a large tortoise and a sharpened stake that may have been used by a hunter to kill the animal 12,000 years ago. In 1986, Gifford and his colleagues recovered a skull with brain tissue from what he thinks was an ancient burial in shallow water near the spring. The discovery of sloth's bones could indicate that Little Salt Spring was a sort of ancient butcher shop where hunters often killed their prey and prepared the meat. This is a warehouse, however, of environmental, natural, historical and archaeological remains in very, very well-preserved environment. Sinkholes in Florida form when water from underground aquifers dissolves the porous limestone bedrock and pushes towards the surface. Eventually, the ground collapses into the water and an hourglass-shaped sinkhole is formed. When Little Salt Spring was formed during the last ice age, sea level was lower and what is now the Florida Peninsula was much wider. Sources of fresh water were scarce. Ancient Native Americans would have come to the sinkhole to drink the water and perhaps to find a meal in the animals that would have congregated there too. Because Little Salt Spring's waters contain little or no oxygen that would support bacteria that eat away artifacts, it's quite possible that over the next few months they'll be finding near pristine items like basketry, woven fabrics, wooden implements that you would otherwise never find in an archaeological context. These should be absolutely brilliant. I can't wait to hear what happens. As far back as 3000 BCE, small tribes roamed with the seasons throughout the Delmarva Peninsula in Delaware, USA, and would settle for a while on the relatively high ground near where Spring Creek flows into the Murderkill River. Now a small piece of their settlement site is providing a window into how these people lived and is now raising also new questions about how far they travelled to trade with other tribes. David Clark, an archaeologist with the Delaware Department of Transportation, said that sporadically over the last 5,000 years, people have been coming back to the site. They are now spending $2 million to excavate the site and collect its artifacts before the building of an $11 million interchange. The site isn't the biggest archaeological find in Delaware, but it is very significant. Usually, discoveries of such a site would mean altering the construction project to avoid excavation, which is required by the National Environmental Policy Act. But this just was not possible with a project. No matter where the engineers moved the road, it was going to go through the site. Field director Scott Padamonsky said that stone tools, pottery shards and other items found during the excavation will be taken back to the firm's lab, cleaned, studied, catalogued and returned to Delaware. Eventually the artifacts will be on display at the Delaware Archaeological Museum in Dover. Among the artifacts on display are items where the rock actually has come from much further afield than where they've been found, indicating a greater trade network. Some 1,700 years ago, the people who live in what is now officially known as Archaeological Site 13LA582, west of Oakville, Iowa, were hunter-gatherers who also grew native crops like sunflower seeds. They lived in a donut-shaped village around a communal area and occupied 20-25 tree branch and bark wigwams capable of housing up to 10 people each. The group is believed to be part of the Weaver culture, located not far from the confluence of the Iowa and Cedar Rivers in Louisa County, where fish and game was plentiful. This was said by Dave Benn, a research archaeologist on the project. They ate a huge number of fish, and we also found turtle and deer bones, he commented. They lived well and ate well. In 8 weeks of meticulous digging and cataloguing, the site has yielded 100,000 artifacts. Many are unrecognizable bone fragments and pottery shards, but there are also stone arrowheads and spear points, stone axe heads and pits laden with ancient midden that will give a glimpse of just how these villagers lived in the past. The most spectacular find at the site is not the one small artifact, it is in fact the entire site itself. It's given the diggers the ability to develop a detailed map of the entire village structure. The digging is expected to wrap up in about a week, and the artifacts are expected to find their way to the curator's office of the Department of Archaeology at the University of Iowa, where they could end up as an exhibit open to the public. Seeing that thing about people eating huge numbers of fish, I have to heartily recommend that you go along to Past Horizons TV. That's just type that into Google, Past Horizons TV, and look for Fish Guy's video. That's Fish Guy's video. It's done by this amazing American director, and it is hysterically funny. It is one woman's attempt to identify some fish. Anyway, now, finally, we move on to the Nighthawking report. Britain's archaeological heritage is being plundered by thieves with metal detectors who are illegally raiding protected sites across the country, it has been claimed. The first comprehensive national study of its kind reveals thieves armed with the state-of-the-art equipment are raiding some of the nation's most sensitive heritage sites. Researchers found knowledgeable criminals, dubbed Nighthawks, are using auction websites such as eBay to cash in. One senior Kent officer said that there have been cases of farmers being threatened after confronting groups of men trespassing at their land, on their land at night. English Heritage, who commissioned the study, said many stolen items are worth very little, but their valuable historical context is lost forever. But although the threat of nighthawking remains high, experts said that the chance of prosecution remains low, with penalties being woefully insufficient. Sir Barry Cunliffe, English Heritage Chairman, called for better guidance for police and a national database to accurately portray the extent of the problem. Metal detecting provides a valuable record of history, but illegal activities of a tiny minority bring disrepute onto the vast majority of metal detectorists. If I can add my own little addition to this as well, it's caused great anger amongst the detectors who feel that this is a direct attack upon them. And I'll say that we should actually all be working together to promote cooperation, with perhaps the most widely targeted sites being cleared of artifacts each year by a team of archaeologists and detectors working together. Nighthawking will not go away, but at least we can make that a lot harder for them. It's much better to see positive action, just like at the Pete Moore Centre as well. I'll actually be contacting English Heritage to suggest to them that they can help fund a project where, as I say, every year we can go onto the most heavily nighthawked sites and clear them of artifacts, thus rendering them useless to the nighthawks. Anyway, on that positive note, can I remind people, of course, to get themselves along to pasthorizons.com if they're fancying getting involved in archaeology in a volunteer aspect, and of course come along to badger.org if you want to see what's happening in archaeology in Britain. You can always find more, of course, about the news on Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks so much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.